This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. اللهم اهد قلبي وسدد لساني واسلل سخيمة قلبي، آمين يا رب العالمين. Lesson number 35, Surah Al-Baqarah. Inshallah, we will do verses 261 and 262. The translation first. مَثَلُ example, الَّذِينَ of those who يُنْفِقُونَ they spend أَمْوَالَهُمْ their wealths فِي in سَبِيلِ way اللَّهِ of Allah. كَمَثَلِ is like an example, حَبَّةٍ of a grain, أَمْبَتَتْ it grows, سَبْعَ seven, سَنَابِل spikes, فِي in كُلِّ every, سُمْبُلَةٍ spike, مِئَةُ is 100, حَبَّةٍ grains. وَاللَّهُ and Allah يُضَاعِفُ he multiplies, لِمَن for whom يَشَاءُ he wills. وَاللَّهُ and Allah وَاسِعٌ is one who encompasses, عَلِيمٌ ever-knowing. الَّذِينَ those who يُنْفِقُونَ they spend أَمْوَالَهُمْ their wealths فِي in سَبِيلِ way اللَّهِ of Allah. ثُمَّ then لَا not يُتْبِعُونَ they cause to follow مَا what أَنْفَقُوا they spent مَنَّن with repeated reminders of their favor وَلَا and nor أَذَا hurt. لَهُمْ for them أَجْرُهُمْ is their reward عِنْدَ with رَبِّهِمْ their رَبْ وَلَا and no خَوْفٌ fear عَلَيْهِمْ will be upon them وَلَا and nor whom they يَحْزَنُونَ they will grieve. Recitation of these verses.
مثل الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله كمثل حبة أنبتت سبع سنابل في كل سنبلة مئة حبة والله يضاعف لمن يشاء والله واسع عليم. الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله ثم لا يتبعون ما أنفقوا منا ولا أذى لهم أجرهم عند ربهم ولا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. مثل الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله. The example of those who spend their wealth in the way of Allah. كمثل حبة is like a seed of grain. أنبتت سبع سنابل which grows seven spikes. في كل سنبلة مئة حبة in each spike is 100 grains. وَاللَّهُ يُضَاعِفُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ and Allah multiplies his reward for whom he wills. وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ and Allah is all-encompassing and knowing. In this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us an example of those people who spend their wealth in the way of Allah. That how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes the reward of their spending to multiply many times over, just like a grain of seed that grows into a plant and brings forth many more grains, hundreds and thousands more. We see in the context, this ayah is placed in a very beautiful place. First of all, we see that previously in Surah Al-Baqarah, we have been taught to spend in the way of Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that When a person spends in the way of Allah, then they are lending a loan to Allah. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will certainly benefit them. He will reward them. He will compensate them. He will return what they give to him, what they give for his pleasure. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in Surah Al-Baqarah verse 245, that مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يُقْرِضُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا فَيُضَاعِفَهُ لَهُ أَضْعَافًا كَثِيرًا. That who is the one who will lend Allah a loan, and this loan will be good, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will multiply that for him many times over. Multiplied times. Many times over, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will multiply that loan and return it to the person, meaning the reward will be much greater than what the person has given. What a person will receive from Allah will be much greater than what they gave. And here in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us precisely how much the reward will be multiplied. Not just the fact that it will be multiplied many times over, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us specifically how much it will be multiplied, how many times over. We see that in the previous verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us proofs of resurrection, where Ibrahim alayhi salam asked his Lord that, أَرِنِي كَيْفَ تُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى, that, O my Lord, show me how will you bring life to those who are dead. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed him how he will bring life to those who are dead. In the ayah before that also, we learn another proof of resurrection, where we learn that a man passed by a town which was into ruins completely. Nobody was living over there. Houses were deserted, uninhabited. And the man wondered, how will this all of these people come back to life after they have died? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed that man how he will resurrect the dead. So the Lord who causes the dead to come back to life, he will ensure that the reward of what you give in his way lives on. That what you give in the way of Allah doesn't just die. It doesn't just finish. It doesn't come to an end. No, Allah, the one who will bring life to the dead, is able to cause your charity to continue to benefit you. What you give in his way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can cause it to grow and multiply many times over. And on the day of judgment, the day when the dead will be resurrected, then the action, the deed that will help a person a lot is infaq fi sabilillah, what they have spent in the way of Allah. Because you see, it is not enough for us to simply know that there is life after death, that we will be resurrected, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring us back to life after we have died. Yes, we believe in that. Yes, we know that. But knowing this is not enough. What this knowledge demands is preparation, that we prepare for that day. So what should we do to prepare for that day when we will be brought back to life? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directs us to a very beneficial good deed. And that good deed is to spend in the way of Allah so that we will be rich on that day. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. مَثَلُ, example. الَّذِينَ, of those who. The word مَثَل is from the root letters ميم ثَالَم, and it means example. So the example of the people who يُنْفِقُونَ, they spend, نُون فَا قَاف is the root, they spend أموالهم, their properties, their wealth. أموال is the plural of مال. So they spend their wealth في سبيل الله. They spend their wealth in the way of Allah. So this is the example of their spending, meaning مثل نفقة الذين, the example of the spending of those people who give their wealth in the way of Allah. Meaning when you give something in the way of Allah, then the example of that is like that of a seed. Or here, the example is of the spender, the giver, the one who spends in the way of Allah. That كَمَثَلِ زَارِعِ حَبَّ, meaning the one who spends in the way of Allah is like the one who plants a seed, one who sows a seed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions over here the spending of wealth specifically. Because the word amwal is the plural of mal from the root letters mim, waw, lam. And mal is anything that is in the possession of a person. It could be a piece of land, it could be a house, it could be a building, it could be clothing, it could be investment funds, it could be some shares that a person owns in a company, it could be cash, it could be Bitcoin, it could be clothing, it could be food, anything that a person has possession of, that is mal. So they spend their wealth, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls it their wealth, even though all wealth belongs to Allah. But by saying their wealth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us some kind of liberty over here that, you know, this is yours. So what are you going to do with it? What choices are you going to make with it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honors us with that. This is a privilege that Allah has given us, that He has made us people of wealth. Or whatever wealth that He has given us, that is a privilege. So they spend their wealth fi sabilillah, in the way of Allah. Now, what does it mean to spend one's wealth in the way of Allah? To spend one's wealth in the way of Allah, fi sabilillah, the ulama explain that fi sabilillah is essentially jihad. It is to spend in the cause of jihad. Now, there is a hadith in which we learn the Prophet ﷺ said that man sama yawman fi sabilillah ba'ada Allahu wajhahu 'anil nari 70 kharifan. That the person who fasts for one day in the way of Allah, then Allah will keep his face away from hellfire for a distance that is covered by a journey of 70 years. And Imam Bukhari brings this hadith in Kitab al-Jihad, in the book of Jihad, because according to his understanding and the understanding of many ulama, fi sabilillah means jihad. So they spend their wealth in the way of Allah. Now, if you think about it, what is the purpose of jihad? The purpose of jihad is to defend Muslim lands. And yes, sometimes jihad is offensive to remove the power of oppressive rulers and let the truth of Islam reach people. But ultimately, the goal of jihad, remember, it is not to cause death and destruction. Jihad is not insanity like people like to portray it. No, jihad is a noble, excellent deed that is for the purpose of strengthening, establishing, and spreading the religion of Allah. And one way of doing that is through war, but war is not the only way. Jihad can also be with the qalam, with the pen, where a person exerts their effort in order to write about Islam, in order to take the message of Islam to people, to dispel their doubts, to answer their questions, to provide clarity. And it is well known that research, writing, publication, all of this requires a lot of funding. This is well known. To do any kind of research, funding is required. So, for example, when it comes to writing about Islam, all right, this is part of fi sabilillah. When it comes to teaching people about Islam, taking the message of Islam forward, whether it is through media or through publications or any way, all of that is part of fi sabilillah. And in Surah Al-Furqan, which is a Makki surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse 52 that وَجَاهِدْهُمْ بِهِ جِهَادًا كَبِيرًا, that strive against them with this a great striving. And with this, with it, it is referring to the Qur'an, meaning strive against your opponents with the Qur'an. How? That you recite it, you explain it, you convey it, you live it. Even if people don't want to listen, even if they don't want to make any room for the Qur'an, you strive. And the recitation of the Qur'an, or rather teaching people how to recite the Qur'an and explaining it, conveying it, printing the mushaf, all of this also requires funding. So to establish places and institutes, to develop programming and train people where people can learn to recite, memorize, understand the deen of Allah, then all of this requires funding. So this spending fi sabilillah is specifically spending for the religion of Allah, to spread the religion of Allah, to teach people about the religion of Allah. And remember that the way that Allah Azza wa Jal has superiority over his creation, spending on the religion of Allah is also superior to spending on any other cause. Spending in the way of Allah is the most afdal. It is the most superior form of charity. It is the best form of charity. In a hadith, we learn the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that afdalu sadaqati, the most virtuous of charitable spending, is the shade of a tent in the cause of Allah. Isn't that amazing? That a tent that is given in the cause of Allah and that provides shade to people, that is the best kind of charity. Or giving a servant in the cause of Allah, or a riding camel in the cause of Allah. Meaning anything that is given to support the religion of Allah in any way whatsoever, that is the best kind of charity. So for example, in your local masjid, if you donate the money for example, new air conditioning, a new roof, new carpet, or for example, new chairs, so that people can come and study the deen of Allah, people can come and learn the verses of Allah, people can come and listen to the Quran, they can come and establish their deen, they can pray salah. You give the funding, you spend for example, a new microphone system, whatever it may be, then this is the best kind of sadaqah. Afdalu sadaqat, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, that it is giving something in the way of Allah. And you see, this is the best. Why? Because its impact is far-reaching. You know, for example, when you spend money to give food to someone, all right? So for example, you give $100 to buy food, and then you take it to your friends, family, your acquaintances, and you serve it to them. That is excellent, because giving food is also a very virtuous deed, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. And it is something that, is mentioned many times in the Quran. And Jannah is promised to the people who give food to others. So this is excellent. But what is even better than that is that you feed the soul, the heart of a person. Because you know what? You could have a full stomach. You could have more food than what you can eat. But you cannot be happy and you cannot feel satisfied until your soul is satiated, until your heart is given what it is desperately in need of, what it is hungry for. And what satiates the heart, what feeds the heart and soul is what? It is the dhikr of Allah. It is the knowledge of Allah. It is ibadah. It is servitude to Allah. And how can a person know about Allah and have love for Allah and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This requires ilm. This requires knowledge. So if you spend that $100 or another $100 to, for example, purchase some materials that will help people worship Allah better, or you will spend this money to teach people the deen. For example, you invest in a cause where, you know, people are preparing materials, publications, or media to educate people about Islam, then that $100 will bring you much greater reward than the $100 that you spend in giving food to people. Giving food is excellent, excellent, but feeding the souls of people is far more superior. So, الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ first and foremost includes spending in the cause of Allah's religion, to support that, to strengthen that, to spread that, to educate people about that, to strengthen people in their deen. Secondly, فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ also includes spending in any good work. So this includes all of the abwabul khair, all of the, you know, the good deeds. So Sa'id ibn Jubayr said that this includes all acts of obedience to Allah, all good deeds. So for instance, if a person is giving anything for the pleasure of Allah, for instance, a person spends in hajj, you know, they want to go for hajj, they want to go for Umrah. So they spend many dollars to go for Hajj, to go for Umrah. This is fi sabilillah. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said that each dirham that is spent in jihad and Hajj is multiplied 700 times. So imagine if you buy a package for 15K, the reward for that will be multiplied 700 times, and that is over a million. So it is as though you spent $1 million. You get the reward for a million. So what you spend in obedience to Allah, and obedience to Allah includes, you know, performing various acts of worship or doing things, spending in causes that please Allah. So for instance, you spend on your parents, you spend on your relatives, on the orphans, those in need, the travelers. You spend on your relatives, you give them a gift, on your neighbors, those who are close to you. You do ihsan to them with your money. Then this is also fi sabilillah, because you are spending in the way of Allah, in obedience to Allah, for the pleasure of Allah. You are spending for the cause that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes. And when you spend in the way of Allah, then remember, this is money that can be given to an individual. So for example, you give money to an individual so they can go for Umrah. You buy their plane ticket, for instance. You pay for their tuition so that they can take a class. Or this can also be given to a cause, all right, to a cause. Or for example, a group of people who are working together to serve the religion of Allah, or to serve the community. So for example, you give a donation to the local masjid, you spend on a school, so that children can be taught how to recite the Quran over there. Or, they can be taught how to memorize the Quran over there. So spending in the way of Allah, remember, it can be given to an individual, and it can also be given to a cause. So the example of those people who spend their wealth in the way of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the example is كَمَثَلِ حَبَّةٍ. It is like example of a grain. كَمَثَلِ كَ like مَثَلْ example حَبَّةٍ of a grain. And the word حَبَّةٍ is from the root letters ha ba ba. And حَبَّةٍ is a seed. And basically, habba is a grain that people cultivate. Okay, why? They harvest the plant for food. So this is not just any seed, but specifically things like wheat, barley, because the crop that is harvested, it is used as food, as a staple. So kamathali habba. And this habba, this seed, this grain, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, is such that ambatat, it grows. Ambatat is from noon bata, imbat is to grow. So it grows, meaning that one seed, that one grain, grows sab'a sanabil, seven spikes. Okay. Now sanabil is the plural of sumbula, from the root letters sin, noon, ba, lam. Sumbula. And you can see the singular form in the ayah, fi kulli sumbulatin. Sanabil is the plural of sumbula. And sumbula is basically the spike, which is, so you see when you plant a seed and it grows a shoot, initially that shoot is what? It's just one. And as it grows, then you can see it branching. Okay, you can see it branching. And at the end of each branch is what? A cluster of seeds. So that cluster of seeds at the end of the branch is what? It is a sumbula. It is a spike. Okay? And that spike has multiple grains. And, you know, different plants grow differently. So, for example, if you see, for instance, a lavender plant, you can see the seeds or the grains, they're such that, you'll see 7 to 10 in one cluster. And you have a cluster on top of a cluster on top of a cluster. Sometimes there's, 5 or 6 clusters. Sometimes there's few. And in some plants, you can see that there are multiple shoots coming out from one root, from one root. In some cases, what happens is that from one root, one seed, there's only one spike. But here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning that this seed is such, there's so much blessing in it, that it grows seven spikes. And then, fi kulli sumbulatin, and in each spike, there are mi'atu habba. There are 100 seeds, 100 grains. So now what's happening? Out of one seed, one grain, you are harvesting how many? 700. 700. Now a person might say, well, I've never seen anything like that, where, you know, one grain grows into 7 spikes and each spike has 100 grains. This is not typical. Yes, it may not be typical, but can it be imagined? Yes, it can be. This is an example. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us over here the blessing in what you give in His cause, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes that to increase and multiply more than what you have ever seen. This is not a typical result. This is not a typical yield. You know, for example, when you invest some money, you are told that the returns are 15%, 5%, 30%. Sometimes, you know, you are told that you will get annual returns or, you know, monthly or twice a year, things like that. But this is, this deal that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning over here is better than any deal that you have ever seen in the world. Because this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is giving you the returns for your investment. So, أَنْبَتَتْ سَبْعَ سَنَابِلَ فِي كُلِّ سُنْبُلَةٍ مِئَةُ حَبَّةٍ. Now, I want you to look at the word sanabil. You see, sanabil is a plural of the word sumbula. And in Surah Yusuf, we have the plural sumbulat, sab'a sumbulat. Okay, that is mentioned over there. So there's two types of plurals, sumbulat and sanabil. And there is a difference between these two plurals. Sanabil is jamr kathra, all right? And sumbulat is jamr qilla. Yani in Arabic, sometimes you have different plurals for one word. Why? Because one plural indicates, a little more than two, okay? So for example, 3, 4, 5. But then another plural indicates a huge number, a huge number. So sanabil is jamr kathra. It indicates a huge number. And the point over here is to show the abundance of the reward, the gain that you receive from Allah in return for your spending in His cause. So كَمَثَلِ حَبَّةٍ أَنْبَتَتْ سَبْعَ سَنَابِلَ فِي كُلِّ سُنْبُلَةٍ مِئَةُ حَبَّةٍ. And then Allah says, وَاللَّهُ يُضَاعِفُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. And Allah multiplies, meaning the rewards, لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ, for whomever He wills. The word يُضَاعِفُ is from the root letters ضَاد عَيْن فَا. And مُضَاعَفَ is to multiply. So this kind of multiplication of reward is for who? It is for the one whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. Yani, not everyone gets this kind of multiplication of reward. This is for those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. And remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will and His judgment are not random. Allah's will and judgment is based on His knowledge, His justice, His mercy, His generosity. So the multiplication of reward is in proportion to the sincerity with which a person gives, the dedication, the purity of their deed, and the effort that they exert. Now, remember that the minimum reward for a good deed, any good deed, is 10 times. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-An'am, ayah 160, that مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ عَشْرُ أَمْثَالِهَا. That whoever comes with a good deed, then he will have 10 times like it, meaning the reward will be multiplied 10 times over. When you recite one letter of the Quran, then what is the reward for that? 10 hasanat, right? So, and in hadith, we learned that when a person intends to do a good deed, then the reward of a good deed is recorded for them. When they actually do it, then the reward is multiplied 10 times, right? Also in hadith, we learn al-hasanatu bi'ashri amthaliha. So a good deed brings 10 times its reward. However, we learn over here that the reward of sadaqah, of charity in the way of Allah, can yield up to 700 times more rewards. Allahu Akbar. Wallahu yudha'ifu liman yasha'. The reward of sadaqah is not 10 times. It is up to 700 times. And even that is actually not the limit. Because some ulama say that wallahu yudha'ifu liman yasha'. This is indicating that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala multiplies the reward more than 700 times even for whom He wills. 700 times is not the maximum. It is not the maximum returns. The returns can be even more. Why? Because Allah is Dhul Fadlul Azeem. He is the possessor of great favor. So how do you increase in your reward? Yani, how can you make sure that when you spend in the way of Allah, then you don't just get a little bit of reward in return, but you get multiple rewards, up to 700 and even more. How does that happen? Remember that the increase in reward, the mudha'afa, is determined by the state of the giver, and secondly, the condition of what is given. So first of all, the condition of the giver. So the person who is giving, it depends on their condition. So if they're giving with sincerity, purely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then of course the reward will be multiplied. If they give it without seeking any return from people, without expecting even a thank you or any form of gratitude or any kind of praise from people, they don't expect any kind of return. They only give for the sake of Allah. Then the purer the intention, the greater the reward. And likewise, part of the state, the condition of the giver, is that how, in what manner do they give in the way of Allah? So for example, some people when they give, they just, give, in a rush, for example, without really giving much thought, or they give it, their manner is rough, okay? They come across as rude and harsh, or someone who doesn't really care. But if a person gives kindly, lovingly, in a good way, while making the recipient feel good and feel honored and dignified, then the manner in which you give also increases the reward. You see, sometimes a person is giving even to their own children, but they give in a way that the children feel horrible, horrible, that they would rather not have received that gift or that favor. And other times, there are people who give in such a gentle, generous, dignified way that the recipient feels so happy and honored and respected. Sometimes a person gives in such a way that others are encouraged to spend, right? So the condition of the giver, the way you give, that will either multiply the reward or diminish the reward. So give in an excellent way. Some people, they have a lot and they give very little out of it. Some people, they have little to begin with. And from that, they spend. Subhanallah. From that, they spend. Sometimes we think that, when we have a savings of 50,000, then, maybe we can spend in the way of Allah. Maybe when we have bought a new sofa set and we have renovated our house, and when we have gone for such and such trip, and when we have bought such and such thing, and we have fulfilled all of our desires and needs and wants, then we can think about giving in the way of Allah. And when they do give, they give little. And then there's another person who has a very limited amount, barely enough to fulfill their own needs with. But from that also, they take something out to give in the way of Allah. Yes, in quantity, it may be very little. But look at their condition. They are experiencing poverty. They are experiencing shortage of wealth. but still they give in the way of Allah. So this is something that will increase their reward. Secondly, the reward is increased depending on the condition of what is given. So for example, what you are giving, it could be $1,000, but if it is from property, from wealth that is not halal, that was not earned lawfully, then it will not bring any reward to a person. But if a person spends from their halal earned money, then the reward will be more. Likewise, you may be giving, let's say, some furniture as donation somewhere. And if that furniture is broken, it is old, then the reward will be less. If you're giving clothes and the clothes smell, or they are torn from somewhere, the reward will be less. But if you're giving something which is, you know, in very good quality, then the reward will be more. Likewise, you could be giving $100, like the example that I mentioned earlier, to feed someone, their body, or you could be giving the $100 to feed their soul, to feed their heart, to strengthen their connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to bring them benefit, not just in that day, but to bring them benefit on the day of judgment. For example, if you pay for someone's tuition so that they learn how to recite the Quran or they memorize the Quran, then what happens? Imagine on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells that person, that reciter of the Quran, recite and ascend. And they reach high levels of paradise. How did they get there? You had a share in that. You paid for their tuition. So the reward will not just be 700 times now. The reward will be way more than 700 times, way more. So don't just be eager to spend in the way of Allah, but be eager to spend with utmost sincerity, in the best manner, in the best place, the best quality, and the best quantity that you can come up with. You know, there's different ways of spending. There are times when you can spend a little here, a little there, right? And that is fine. But then if you save up and then you give a big amount somewhere and you bring someone out of poverty or you help fund a major program, right? Then the reward for that will be different. So be wise in how you spend in the way of Allah. Be deliberate. You know, when it comes to spending on yourself, you are careful, right? That you don't just spend randomly. You think about it, that what is the best way of making use of this money? How much should go into savings? How much should go into groceries? How much should go into spending on myself? How much should go into spending in such and such cause? You're very deliberate. You're careful. And just like that, when you're giving in the way of Allah, seek out the best ways and many different places and avenues where you can give in the way of Allah. So, وَاللَّهُ يُضَاعِفُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah multiplies the reward for whomever He wills. And we see that, like I mentioned to you earlier, that the minimum reward for a good deed is 10 times, right? We learn from this ayah that the reward of giving in the way of Allah is up to 700 times. And 700 times is not the limit, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can multiply the reward even more. وَاللَّهُ يُضَاعِفُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. And did you know, there are some deeds for which the reward is unlimited. Any, the reward is you cannot quantify it. It's immeasurable, immeasurable. And what are those deeds? Of those deeds is actually fasting. We learn in a hadith that all of the deeds of the son of Adam are multiplied, right? Meaning the reward of the deeds, of the good deeds, is multiplied from 10 to 700 times. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the fast, illa sawm, except for the fasting. فَإِنَّهُ لِي وَأَنَا أَجْزِي بِهِ. It is for me and I will give reward for it. Subhanallah. The reward for fasting cannot be quantified. It is immeasurable. And the reward of sabr, the reward of patience also, we learn in the Quran, إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Indeed, the patient those who observe patience will be given their reward without any measure. So, wallahu yudha'ifu liman yasha. We should be eager to do, to not just increase in our good deeds, but do those deeds for which the reward is multiplied many times over. And of them is patience. Many people fast, but they don't observe patience in their fast. Wallahu wasi'un alim. And Allah is all-encompassing and He is alim. Allah is wasi'. Wasi' is from the root letters wasi'in ayn, from the word wus'a. And what this means is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of His attributes are wasi', meaning they're vast. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge is not limited. It is abundant. It is vast. It is all-encompassing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power, His mercy, His forgiveness, they're not constricted. No, they're vast. They're all-encompassing. And this is why we should always have hope in the mercy of Allah, because yes, our sins may be many and very great, but remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness and His mercy are even more vast, more greater than the number of our sins. And He is alim, He is ever-knowing. So He knows he knows what you give, and He knows the condition of the person who is giving, what the state of their heart is, and He also knows what you are giving, what amount you are giving, in what manner you are giving, what worth it is, and what impact it will have. Wallahu wasi'un alim. And these names are very relevant in this context, because think about it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us about the reward of what you give in His way, how He can multiply that to 700 times and even more. What does that tell us about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's appreciation, His generosity, His treasures, His power, His resources? He is wasir. In His ata, in His giving, He is so generous. In His favor, He is so generous. He is so vast. He gives so much. And in hadith, we learned that if all of the nation were to gather together and ask Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would give to each person what they are asking, that would not reduce the treasures of Allah. So think about it. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can put so much blessing in one seed, one donation of yours, it has so much capacity, then what do you think about the capacity of the creator of that seed? The creator of that capacity. Allahu Akbar. Wallahu wasi'un alim. And the reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives, remember that He multiplies that reward on the basis of His knowledge. He knows what the condition of our heart is before we give, when we give, and after we give. And He knows what we have given, where we got that from, how much we love it, and how attached we are to it, but still we are giving it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows all of this. Wallahu wasi'un alim. And just like a seed, right? A seed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about every single seed, where it lands, what its potential is, what it can grow, and how far its fruit will reach. You know, sometimes, when you go to the grocery store, then look at where the food is coming from. And sometimes you will be amazed how the food that is in front of you is coming from a different continent, and across the seas. So how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about this, that how a plant grows in one continent across the oceans, and the food that it produces, it is consumed by someone who is thousands of miles away. And you don't know what you give in the way of Allah, how far reaching its impact will be. How far reaching its impact will be. That is up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring. Your job is to give the best that you can, with the best, the purest of your intentions, in the best place that you can. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is wasi'un alim. He is able to bring more and you know, results than you can even imagine. Now, some mufassirun say that these verses, which tell us about the reward and the manner of spending in the way of Allah, these verses were revealed about Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu and Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu. And they said that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam intended to go for the expedition of Tabuk, and the expedition of Tabuk was an extraordinary expedition. The journey was very long. It was extremely hot at that time, and it was harvest season. And the enemy was also very new, yani, or powerful rather. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged people to spend in the way of Allah at this occasion. And when he did that, Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu brought 4,000 dirham. And he said, O Messenger of Allah, I had 8,000 dirham. So I have kept 4,000 for my family, and 4,000 I am lending to my Lord as a loan. He literally gave half of his net worth, basically, in the way of Allah. But he said, I am lending this to my Lord as a loan. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls such charity a loan, meaning that he will return it. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, may Allah bless you in what you kept for your family, and may Allah bless you in what you lent as a loan to your Lord. Uthman radiallahu anhu also brought 1,000 dinar in one narration, and he put them in the lap of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imagine 1,000 gold coins. He just put them in the lap of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam began to turn them over with his hands. And he was saying that after this day, no matter what Uthman does, it will not harm him. And he raised his hands and he made dua. He said, O Lord of Uthman, I am pleased with Uthman, so you also be pleased with him. Allahu Akbar. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was extremely happy when people brought such great amounts in the way of Allah to support the cause of Allah. We also learn about some companions who could only bring juhdahum, you know, the result of their hard labor, how they labored for the entire day and all they earned was a handful of dates. And they brought that handful of dates to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to support the cause of Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala values even a seed, the tiniest amount that you give in the way of Allah. Now, this example is a tangible example of the reward of spending in the way of Allah. And these examples that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, they're very beneficial for us. Because then we can see tangibly what the reward and benefit is. And when you can imagine, when you can envision the benefit, the outcome, when you have a tangible example, then this serves as motivation and encouragement. Because we like numbers, we like figures, right? If someone were to tell you, for example, that invest your money in such cause, the returns are pretty good. You're like, okay, nice. But when they tell you exactly how much the returns are, all right, if they tell you, for example, annual returns are 80%, for instance, what would you do? You would ask, tell me more. Tell me more. Because 80% is a big deal. You're almost doubling your money every year. So the thing is that as human beings, we love wealth. And with that love of wealth, we also have some level of selfishness and the desire for more wealth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Adiyat, ayah 8, وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٌ. And indeed, the human being is very intense in his love for wealth. In Surah Al-Fajr, ayah 20, Allah says, وَتُحِبُّونَ الْمَالَ حُبًّا جَمَّا. You love wealth a great deal. You need heaps and heaps of wealth. You love them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also tells in Surah An-Nisa, ayah 128, that وَأُحْضِرَتِ الْأَنفُسُ شُحْ, and present in human souls is stinginess. We love money and we want all of it for ourselves, and we would love to have more. Like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if the son of Adam had a valley full of gold, he would like to have two valleys, right? This is our nature. The moment you get some money, you think about how you can use it and how you can grow it, how you can increase it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us over here the best way of making our money grow. Saving our money and also making it grow. You know, for instance, some people, they have a habit of spending, right? And they know that if they have money sitting with them, that money is not going to stay safe. So in order to save their money, what do? They give it to their mom, they give it to their dad, they give it to someone that, please keep this for me. And then when I need it, I will take it from you. Because if it sits with me, if it's in my bank account, if I have direct access to it, it's going to finish. So I need you to save it for me, right? And some people, you know, they want to invest their money. They want their money to grow. So the moment they have, you know, a spare $100, you know, a few $100 or a few $1,000, whatever, immediately they think about growing their money. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us the best way of making our money secure, all right, and also making it grow. And how do you do that? You do that by spending in the way of Allah. Of course, in other places in the Quran, we have been taught that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not demand everything from us, right? Rather, وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ, from what we have provided them, they spend. Meaning, some at least, some portion of what we have, we should give in the way of Allah. So the believer spends their wealth to earn the pleasure of Allah, to draw close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are two conditions for spending in the way of Allah. The first condition is ikhlas, that we must spend with utmost sincerity. Utmost sincerity. And talk to yourself. You know, talk to yourself. Tell yourself. Give yourself a pep talk that, you know, this is lillah. This is liwajhillah. And I'm not going to tell anyone about it. I don't want people to find out about it. And I'm going to try to give this secretly. Or even if I'm giving it openly, and if people do find out about it, I want the reward from Allah. So if somebody takes it and then they don't say thank you to me, well, I wasn't expecting a thank you. If, you know, for example, you give a donation and that you never receive an acknowledgement of your donation, well, you weren't seeking that acknowledgement anyway. Yes, people should say thank you. People should acknowledge. It is their responsibility to show gratitude, but you should not expect it, because لا نريد منكم جزاء ولا شكورا. We do not desire from you, we do not want from you any reward nor any gratitude. Now let's reflect on this example. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in this example that those who spend their wealth in the way of Allah, then what they spend is like a seed, like a grain, which grows seven spikes, and each spike has 100 grains each, and so you have 700 in return. Like I mentioned earlier, one is that you feed a person's body, all right? So grain, habba, what does it do? It is food for the body. And infaq fi sabilillah is food for the heart and soul, all right? It is to feed the souls of people. And also, when you give in the way of Allah, you're feeding yourself. Okay? Now, just as the process of farming or cultivating plants, this is a process that does not end. All right? For instance, every season, seeds or grains that were harvested the previous year, they are planted. Right? Crops are grown, and then at the end they're harvested, and some is eaten and some is kept for replanting. And for example, when a tree grows and it grows fruit, then people eat that fruit, and then the seeds are saved, and then they're planted, and then, you know, more plants grow, and then again the seeds they are used for growing more plants. Sometimes people do this deliberately. Sometimes it happens through nature. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it happen without the work of any person in the middle. So just like that, the reward of spending in the way of Allah, that can also be endless. Yani, think about it. A plant that you grow today, it's possible that the chain of growth of plants, of harvest, of food that comes out of that grain continues until the day of judgment. And it's also possible that what you give in the way of Allah, its impact continues for centuries. Its impact continues, and it continues to benefit people in so many different ways for hundreds and hundreds of years. Hundreds of years. So what are you investing for your real future? You know, when a person is earning an income, they keep thinking about how they can save for their retirement, how they can invest their money so that in their later years, when they're no longer working, they still have a source of income. They have established a certain amount of wealth, which will continue to benefit them. Some people think beyond themselves. They're not just thinking about themselves. They want to invest for their children. And some people, mashallah, their generosity is such that they want to invest some of their money for their grandchildren even. And then there are those people who don't just think about their own family. They think about the children of the world, the future generations. They don't just think about what they will eat, what they will drink, if they will have enough to wear and eat. They think about their deen. That will they be poor on the day of judgment? I don't want the children of the world. I don't want the future generations to be poor on the day of judgment. I want them to succeed on that day. So they think about how they can take the knowledge of the deen to the people of the world. Another thing we can see in this example is that the yield, the harvest, depends on the nature of the seed or the grain. Yani, if the quality of the grain, of the seed, is superior, then the yield, the harvest, will also be superior. But if the quality of the seed, that is poor, then the harvest will be like that also, right? The outcome, the final product, will also be of the same nature. So think about what you are giving in the way of Allah. What is the quality of your sadaqah? Are you giving it with sincerity? Are you giving it from your lawfully earned money? Are you giving it from something that you love for yourself? Because when you give something that you love for yourself, that brings even greater reward. لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You can never attain piety until you spend out of what you love. وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ. They give food in spite of love for it. And they love to eat that food themselves, but they give it to others to eat. They would love to keep that wealth for themselves, but they give it to others. So remember that the reward of what you give depends on the quality of your spending in the way of Allah. Is your spending of superior quality or is it of cheap quality? Check your sadaqah. Check your sadaqah. And it doesn't mean that sadaqah has to be expensive. Its dollar value has to be great. That, of course, matters, but that's not the only thing. What matters is the condition of your heart. What matters is with what love you give. Another thing is that when you plant a seed, a grain, it is buried in the soil, right? It is hidden. And when you give something in the way of Allah, initially, you feel like you have lost what you gave. All right, you feel like now you have little, or you don't immediately see the benefit of what you give in the way of Allah, right? For example, you give a donation, maybe online. You don't know where it's going. You don't know how people will benefit from it. You don't see the result immediately. And it's possible that you never see the result in your own life. You will see the result, inshallah, on the day of judgment. Leave the results to Allah. Because إِنَّ اللَّهَ فَالِقُ الْحَبِّ وَالنَّوَى. It is Allah who is the cleaver of the grain and the seed. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes seeds and grains to burst and grow. All right? That is up to Allah. Your job is to give the best that you can. And your job is to bury the seed, to plant it, to give it. When you put the money in the donation box, for example, it slips from your hand, it's gone, it's hidden from you, right? You no longer see it. Now, don't pursue, because some people, what they do is that once they give some kind of some charity, they pursue, and they keep asking, so what did you do with it? So how come I don't see the new fans yet? How come I don't see the new microphone system yet? How come? You know, why the delay? I gave the donation for this cause. Where is it? So don't pursue. Your job is to give and leave the results to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who grows your seeds. Okay, the seeds that you give. In hadith, we learned that when a person gives charity from their halal earning, and that charity could be just one date fruit. Okay, one date fruit. You give that in the way of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to accept it with his right hand, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of it. He will cause it to grow, just as someone takes care of and nurtures and looks after a baby horse. All right? And so that one date will become a mountain in terms of reward. Mountain. And you think about it, a date versus a mountain. Is a mountain 700 times bigger than the date? No, way more than that. So leave the growth to Allah. Okay? Leave it to Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause it to grow. Now, another thing is that when you plant a seed, for example, when you sow a seed, okay, and the plant grows, then you have to care for it, okay? So for example, if you have a plant, then you have to water it. You have to ensure that, you know, it's getting sufficient water, it's getting sufficient sunlight and things like that, and you're protecting it from anything that could cause damage to it. Likewise, once you give sadaqah, once you spend in the way of Allah, you have to preserve the reward and the benefit of your spending. It's well known that a ready-to-harvest crop can be destroyed by one event, by a single event. Any one storm of snow or hail or frost or fire, whatever. In one event can literally wipe out the entire field. Right? So there are some deeds, some follow-up deeds, which can literally destroy the reward of your charity. And inshallah, in the upcoming verses, we will learn about those deeds so that we can stay away from them. So it's necessary that we purify our intention before we give, when we give, and also after we have given. Because sometimes what happens is that we're not boasting at the time of giving. Okay, but 10 days later, maybe a year later, maybe 5 years later, we boast about it. You know, for example, you give a donation for, let's say, a new microphone system at the masjid. All right. 3 years later, you go with someone to the masjid and someone praises that, oh, mashallah, the quality of the sound quality in this masjid is excellent. And you say, yeah, I gave 50% of it. My husband and I, we covered the cost of the new sound system in the masjid. So you didn't boast at that time, but you boasted 5 years later. That is enough to waste your reward. So don't do that. Preserve the reward of your good deeds, spending in the way of Allah. Now, there are many lessons that we can take from this ayah. First of all, we learn that when we spend in the way of Allah, let us give it with utmost sincerity. Secondly, we learn over here that it is necessary for all of us to spend in the way of Allah. Whatever little amount we can give, we should spend in the way of Allah. Don't think that spending in the way of Allah is just for the millionaires, for the doctors of the Muslim community, for, you know, people who own huge businesses in the Muslim community, for people who have inherited great amounts of wealth in the Muslim community. No, spending in the way of Allah is for all of us. It doesn't matter what quantity we give. That quantity can literally be one habba, one grain. What is the size of a wheat grain? It's very tiny. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala values that much. He can cause that to grow into 700 more. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very appreciative. And when we spend in the cause of Allah, remember that this is something that benefits many people. It uplifts the condition of the people who are experiencing poverty. It strengthens the bond of the Muslim community. It strengthens the community itself. Be hopeful. We also learn from this ayat that we should have great hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's generosity, His reward. If the earth returns so much that you put one seed in it and it will give you 700 more, how much do you think the Lord of the earth will return to you? You give one thing in Allah's cause, He will give many times over. We learn in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 276, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that وَيُرْ بِالصَّدَقَاتِ, Allah causes the sadaqat to grow. And he multiplies, He increases the reward of charity. We learn that a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with a camel, all right? And he gave that to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said that this is in the way of Allah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that this person will have 700 camels like that on the Day of Judgment. 700. So what you give in the way of Allah is certainly multiplied. So give in the best way and hope, expect for the best rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now let's talk a little bit about spending in the way of Allah. First of all, we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invites us to spend in His cause. And when you spend in the cause of Allah, this is an investment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah At-Tawbah, ayah 11, that إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ, that Allah has purchased from the believers their lives and their properties in exchange for paradise. Meaning when you spend in the way of Allah and you exert physically in yourself in the way of Allah, then this is an investment, this is a trade. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you something in return, and that is paradise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us that spend before a day comes where no trade will benefit, no friendship will benefit. And we learn in hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked that who among the people is best? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that afdalun nas, in another narration, khayrun nas, meaning the best of people is the person who strives in the way of Allah with their wealth and with their self. Meaning they spend from their wealth in the way of Allah, and they also bring themselves in the way of Allah. Meaning, you see, one is that we just give donations here and there to different masajid, different organizations, different causes. But you know, these places don't just need money, they also need people. We need to physically go to such places and populate them, inhabit them. We need to be those people who are praying in the masajid. We need to be those people who are studying in such places. So populate these places. And we also learn, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned us, he said that the wealthy persons will have little on the Day of Judgment. And those who have a lot today will have very little on the Day of Judgment, except for those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave wealth to And they spent it on their right, on their left, in front of them, behind them, meaning just as the wind diffuses fragrance everywhere. Similarly, this person spends their wealth everywhere, everywhere. So be eager to give in many different places, in many different causes. So for example, you may be giving, you may have given to, you know, feed people. Excellent. You may have given some money locally. Excellent. You may have given some donation, you know, back home. Excellent. You may have given money for, you know, publications, for, you know, preparing media through which people can be educated about Islam. Excellent. And diversify. And don't think that the donation that you gave on the odd night, you know, on the 23rd night is enough. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you more, then give more. Like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you know, to your right, to your left, before you, behind you, just like the wind diffuses fragrance, you should also diffuse your wealth in the way of Allah. And do not fear poverty, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Bilal, أنفق بلال ولا تخش من ذي العرش إقلالا. O Bilal, spend and do not fear poverty from the one who owns the throne. Meaning if you're giving for the sake of the owner of the throne, you think he's going to leave you poor? He's not going to leave you poor. He's going to give you more. And the person who is stingy, we learn in the Quran, in Surah Muhammad, ayah 38, وَمَنْ يَبْخَلْ فَإِنَّمَا يَبْخَلُ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ. Whoever is stingy, he is only stingy against him, against his self. And he only harms himself. And those who do not spend their wealth in the way of Allah, and they just hoard their gold and their silver, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, فَبَشِّرْهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. Give them news of painful punishment. And this shows us that giving zakat is mandatory, absolutely. But then beyond that also, we should be eager to spend our wealth in the way of Allah. Because when we spend our wealth in the way of Allah, we learn in Surah At-Tawbah, ayah 99, that innaha qurbatul lahum, that this is a means of closeness to Allah. You draw close to Allah. In verse 274 of Surah Baqarah, we learn those who spend their wealth in the way of Allah, then they will have no fear and they will not grieve. We learn that Hassan al-Basri reported that dawu mardakum bis-sadaqah, that treat those who are ill among you through charity. Which means that when we experience illness of any kind, it could be physical, it could be mental, it could be any kind of ailment that we experience in our lives. Maybe you are perfectly healthy and you see your children struggling in their health. Then how do you seek treatment? There's different ways. Of course, you make dua. You ask Allah, Ash-Shafi, to heal you. And then you take medication, right? But then you should also give sadaqah. And this is something that the people of knowledge, urge others to do. We learn that Abdullah ibn Mubarak, somebody came to him and complained to him of a wound that they had on their knee. And this person said that I've had this wound for 7 years on my knee. Okay. And it's just not going away. And I have done different things to treat it and it's not going away. So please tell me, what should I do? And Abdullah ibn Mubarak, rahimahullah, he told him that go and have a well dug for people where people are in need of water. Okay, I mean, go to a place where people need water and have a well dug over there so people have access to water. People don't have to travel to far places to fetch water for themselves. Make water accessible to them. And he said, I hope that as soon as you make water available to people in such a place, then this wound will also heal. And the person who narrated this incident said that man did that, and immediately his wound was healed. And it stopped bleeding. The blood and the pus, etc., that was oozing out of that wound went away. So Sadaqah, when you spend, this is a way of protecting yourself. This is a way of healing yourself. And we also learned that when we give in the way of Allah, then this is something that brings us freedom. Okay, freedom from our difficulties. We learned in a hadith that Yahya alayhi salam, he gathered the Bani Israel and he instructed them to do many things. And of them was that he said that I command you to give sadaqah. Because the example of the one who spends, who gives charity, is like that of a man who has been captured by his enemy. And then they tie him up. They tie his hands to his necks, to his neck, and they also tie his feet. And then they're about to kill him. But he says to them, can I please ransom myself with such and such wealth? And they agree. So he sets himself free by giving his wealth. And just like that, when you spend in the way of Allah, then you free yourself. You free yourself from what? Not just hellfire, but also in this life, you free yourself from different problems and hardships that you find yourself trapped in. We learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Anfiq, unfiq alayk, spend and I will spend on you." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Surah Al-Anfal, ayah 60, that وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ شَيْءٍ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ يُوَفَّ إِلَيْكُمْ. Whatever you spend in the way of Allah will be given to you in full. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will compensate you in full. In Surah Saba, ayah 39, وَمَا أَنْفَقْتُمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَهُوَ يُخْلِفُهُ. Whatever you spend in His cause, Allah will compensate it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will save you from painful punishment. In Surah As-Saff, ayah 10, we learned this. Surah At-Taghabun, ayah 17, we learned, إِن تُقْرِضُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا يُضَاعِفُ لَكُمْ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ. Allah will forgive you if you lend Allah a beautiful loan. We also learned in hadith that when a person gives charity in the way of Allah, then their sins are extinguished just as water extinguishes fire. Sufyan al-Thawri, he was such that whenever he would see a beggar at his door, he would be delighted. He would rejoice. And he would say, welcome, welcome. And he would say that this man has come to wash away my sins. Alhamdulillah, I have someone coming to me. I can give them. And this way my sins will be washed away. Sufyan al-Thawri would be happy when someone asked him to give. Subhanallah. In Surah Al-Hadid, ayah 7, we learn that for those people who spend in the way of Allah, they will have ajrun kabir, a great reward. In a hadith, we learn that when a person spends in the way of Allah, then the heat of the graves is extinguished for its people. Meaning, you are preparing coolness for yourself in your grave when you spend in the way of Allah. On the Day of Judgment also, you will have the coolness of the shade of Allah if you spend in His cause with sincerity. Because we learn in hadith that كل امرئ في ظل صدقتي, that each person will be under the shade of his own charity on the Day of Judgment. And another hadith we learned that 7 types of people will be under the shade of Allah's throne. Of them is the person who spends with his right hand in such a way that his left hand does not even know. So, you know, sometimes you give sadaqah together as a family, you and your spouse, or you and your siblings, you with your parents, or you with your friends, you know, together you spend. You know, the people around you know what you're giving. But also try to give some sadaqah secretly, so the people who are closest to you don't even find out. Because that will bring you the shade of Allah's throne on the Day of Judgment. We also learned that those who spend in the way of Allah, in Surah Ali Imran, ayah 134, we learn that 133 and 134, that rush to Allah's forgiveness and Jannah, to paradise, which has been prepared for those who have taqwa. Who are these people? الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ. Of their qualities is that they spend in all conditions, in ease and in hardship. So whether we have a little or we have a lot, let's spend in the way of Allah. In a hadith we learn, the Prophet ﷺ said, اجعلوا بينكم وبين النار حجابا. Create a screen between yourself and the fire of hell, even if you can do that with a piece of a date fruit. يعني you cannot afford to give one whole day, you can give half of it, do that. Do that. We learned that, you know, a woman came begging and Aisha radiallahu anha gave her 3 dates. And the woman gave 1 date each to each of her daughters. And she had 1 date for herself. And when she was about to eat it, her daughters began looking at her. So she broke her date into 2 pieces and she gave it to her daughters. And she ate nothing herself. And Aisha radiallahu anha was very touched by this. And she mentioned this to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, mentioned that because of this, that woman will be saved from hellfire. So if you can give even a little bit, give that. We learned that the person who spends zawjain fi sabilillah, a complete set, a complete pair in the way of Allah, then such a person will be called from all of the gates of paradise. He can enter paradise from any gate. And to give a complete set, what this primarily means is, for example, you give a male camel and a female camel, a complete pair, right? Because now you're not just giving two animals, you're giving something that will continue to grow and increase, right? So just like that, you can give a complete pair, a complete set of clothing, or for example, a complete set of furniture, or complete set of recording material, for example, that will help support the cause of Allah. See what is possible for you, what opportunities you have. But this is such a noble deed that a person will be invited from all the gates of paradise on the Day of Judgment. Now, how can we spend in the way of Allah? There is many different ways. We can spend on ourselves. If we spend for our tuition so that we can learn the deen of Allah, we pay for a subscription through which we can continue to learn the deen of Allah, or we spend on our family so they can learn the deen of Allah. This is infaq fi sabilillah. If you spend on your family for their needs, their worldly needs even, your children, your grandchildren, your siblings, your relatives, your cousins, this is also fi sabilillah. When you spend on those in need, then this is also fi sabilillah. In a hadith, we learned that once the companions were with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and a man passed by, and that man appeared to be, very strong, very able-bodied, very active. So some people said that, if only this person was in the way of Allah, and he's just out and about, he should be using his physical strength in the way of Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if this man has come out in order to strive for his little children, he is in the way of Allah. If he has come out to strive for his elderly parents, he is in the way of Allah. If he has come out to strive for himself so that he does not beg, then he is in the way of Allah. And if he has come out to show off and boast, then he is in the way of shaitan. So spend on those who are dependent on you. Spend on their worldly needs, their religious needs. Spend on your needs, your religious needs. And spend on the religious needs, the worldly needs of the people around you. And diversify your sadaqah. Try to spend on those who are close and those who are far. The Prophet ﷺ said, no doubt this wealth is sweet and green, but blessed is the wealth of a Muslim from which he gives to the poor, the orphans, and to the needy travelers. Allahu Akbar. So spend generously. And we can support, for example, you can spend on Hajj, on Umrah for yourself. You can spend to help build a masjid. You can help in a hadith, we learned that there are 7 things whose reward will continue to benefit a person even when the person ends up in his grave. These 7 things are the knowledge which a person taught, or a stream that a person causes to be built, or, for example, when people need access to water, so you need to, make streams or provide piping, etc., so that water can be taken to different places. Thirdly, the one who has a well dug. Okay. Fourthly, a person who plants a tree. Number 5, having a masjid built, building a masjid. Number 6, giving someone a mushaf. Okay. And number seven, children who seek forgiveness for that person after he has passed away. So there's so many ways in which we can, spend so that we continue to benefit from the reward even when we are laying in our graves. So we should develop the habit of giving, spending in the way of Allah. From our income, from the money that we earn, from the money that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. And whatever privilege Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, let us use that to benefit those around us. And if we are not able to give, then let us protect people from our harm. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised Asma radiallahu anha that do not shut your money bag. Otherwise, Allah too will withhold his blessings from you. Do not shut your money bag. Don't close it, zip it up and put it away. You know, for example, your locker in the bank, don't just keep it shut, because if you keep it shut, then what's going to happen? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also withhold his blessings from you. Spend as much as you can afford, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will continue to give you. And we should also make dua. Allahumma inni as'aluka fi'la al-khayrat wa tarka al-munkarat wa hubba al-masakeen wa an taghfira li wa tarhamni wa idha aradta fitnata qawmin fatawaffani ghayra maftunin وأسألك حبك وحب من يحبك وحب عمل يقرب إلى حبك. O Allah, I ask you for the ability to do good things. And part of good things is to spend wisely in the way of Allah, generously in the way of Allah. Give me the ability to leave sins, because we waste money when it comes to just fulfilling our desires. So Ya Allah, give me the ability to stay away from that. Give me the love of the poor and forgive me my sins and have mercy on me. And when you intend to put the people in trial, in tribulation, then please take me away without testing me. And I ask you for your love and the love of the one whom you love and the love of those deeds which will draw me closer to your love. Let us make dua to Allah, that Ya Allah, protect us from stinginess. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-bukhli wal-haram. O Allah, protect me from stinginess. And another dua, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-ajzi wal-kasali wal-jubni wal-bukhli. O Allah, I seek refuge in you from weakness, from laziness, from cowardice, and also from stinginess. Ya Allah, protect us from stinginess. Make us of those who spend generously in your way, and make us of those whose sadaqah, whose giving, you increase and you multiply. And O Allah, accept our spending in your cause. Inshallah, we will conclude over here. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.